Good afternoon, anybody, brother. Brethren, it's a wonderful, beautiful Sabbath day, as we've already heard. Can you hear me all right back there? Hopefully. Good. Anyway, today we are gathered on a Saturday afternoon while the rest of the world is going about his business and seeking his own pleasures. Some of those who profess to be Christians will take a couple of hours tomorrow to attend a church of their choosing. Muslims observe Friday, Sabbatarians observe Saturday, and Christians observe Sundays. Does it really make any difference which day we observe, or even if we observe one at all? You know, as long as you have given your heart to the Lord, you have good thoughts, that's all you have to do. And do your special thanks on any particular day of the week, according to some. You know, brother, the answer to that question depends on how we answer another question. Is there a God? If there is, and we all believe that there is, then we have to find out what his will is in regard to which day we are going to observe on the Sabbath, as a Sabbath day. You know, Mr. Thompson gave a fine sermon on the Sabbath several weeks ago now, and since then I've had several questions about the Sabbath and doing different things upon the Sabbath, so I thought I would try to augment what he said and kind of go back into some more of a basic approach to the Sabbath. And the first thing I want to do is ask the question, where did it come from? And we'll answer that here in the next few minutes and then go on to several other points. But this, like I say, is a very basic sermon, and hopefully it'll be helpful to all to maybe remember some of the things we might have forgotten over the years, or if you haven't understood them previously, have a chance to review them. If you turn to Ephesians, the third chapter, and verse 9. Ephesians, the third chapter, and verse 9. And he says, "And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, what from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ." We see that all things were created by God created all things through Jesus Christ, which includes the Sabbath, of course. Going back to John, the first chapter, in verse 1. John 1, in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And certainly those who keep the Sabbath and live a Christian life are definitely lights in this very dark and foreboding world that we find ourselves living in at this time. But we see here that all things were created by God, and that's the basic premise I want to start from, is where it comes from, where the Sabbath came from. It came through Jesus Christ, created under the authority and the direction of God the Father. Mark, the second chapter, in verse 27. Mark, the second chapter, in verse 27. Start with verse 26. It says, "The kingdom of God is, I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay, Mark the second chapter in verse 27. It says, "Then he said to them," Christ speaking, "the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath, the Creator and the ruler of the Sabbath day." And we go back to Genesis, the second chapter, and we'll see where it all began. With man on this earth. Genesis, second chapter, and verse 1. I say it's very basic, but I think we need to lay the groundwork, and so we understand. You know, it's just not some figment of some man's imagination, but God very specifically says where it came from and who created it. So in Genesis 2nd chapter verse 1, it says that thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his works which God had created and made. You see, God set aside, he created at that point for mankind the seventh-day Sabbath. After he did all his work, he rested. And he says that we, as his people, are to continue to follow that along for all of our lives, all our Christian lives. And all mankind, if they would only do that, what a blessing it could be for the world. But the basic answer is that God created the Sabbath, and he wants all his people to observe it, all those who obey him, and live their life accordingly. Point number two is that the Sabbath is a test to identify his people. Exodus the 20th chapter. Exodus the 20th chapter, verse 1 and 2. And God spoke all these words in Exodus 20 and verse 1. And then skip down to 2 is, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And did he not bring us out of the land of Egypt also? You know, when he called us out of this wretched existence or society that we were wallowing around in prior to God's calling. And he brought us by, you know, out of that Egypt. He brought us out and gave us the opportunity that we have today to be here to worship him. Dropping down to verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Well, God put his name on it. This is his day, not our day, so to speak. You know, it's what day that he set aside that we might come before him and worship him and learn more of his ways. So the keeping the seventh day Sabbath was a test for all Israel, which when he gave them the Ten Commandments. You know, it was a test commandment, as it is for us also. Going over back a few pages to Exodus, the 16th chapter, and verse 4. Exodus, the 16th chapter, and verse 4 and 5. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven from you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the seventh or sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as on the other days or other daily days. Dropping down to verse 14, it says, and when the layer of dew lifted there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded, that every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons that every man take for those who are in his tent or in his household. An interesting note too that God says that going through the Passover that he's the bread of life. And we are to partake of that also, but that's another whole subject. Going down to verse 17, it says, then the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. In other words, how much they needed to feed their families. So when they measured by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's needs. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning. You know, man has a better idea. They don't have to go to work, so let us gather twice as much today. We'll get all the kids gathered up and doing a sort, and I didn't sleep in the morning because, you know, the manna melted by noon or so, so they had to get up in the morning and had a work ethic there. So they said, we'll figure this out. I don't have to get up in the morning and do it. We'll just gather twice as much today. But it bred worms. And it stank. And Moses was angry with them, so they gathered it every morning, and every man according to his needs, and when the sun became hot, it melted away. So it was gone. But, you know, that's all man's ideas, they're not so good. They just have a better idea, but it doesn't work all that well. But there's also an object lesson here. Turning down to, dropping down and out to verse 20. I read that again. And so on the sixth day, verse 22, and so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and today, and boil what you will boil, and lay it up for yourselves, all that remains to be kept until morning. So then they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath of the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. So God teaching them a lesson here. First, you know, they had a better idea, and they saved it up so they didn't have to go to work the next day, and it bred worms and stank. And here another miracle was performed where God said, gather twice as much, and it kept overnight and throughout the rest day or the next day, which would be the Sabbath day. And God was teaching them an object lesson. So it was something that also is a test for the people. And only most of them pretty much failed most of the tests that God placed before them in their walk in the wilderness. And of course we all know that, you know, the ones that are 20 years old and older all died in the wilderness because of their rebellion. They're not taking what God said to do and following after what he instructed them to do. And of course the Sabbath then is the number one test commandment for mankind. You know, you talk to, you know, religious people, and they think the Ten Commandments are great, except for one. You know, and they'll cross that one off their list. Well, we don't have to keep that mean old nasty Sabbath. We got a better idea. Now we can keep Wednesday, Thursday, or Monday, or Sunday, or whatever day it is. And, you know, isn't it interesting that, at least from our perspective, that those days kind of stink as far as worthy as worshiping God. So anyway, it's a test commandment, brethren, that God has set there for all mankind to whether or not they're going to obey him or not. Going back to Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, Ezekiel the 20th chapter, verse 11. Ezekiel 20 and verse 11. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, or judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. You know, the bottom line curse that mankind has brought upon himself, ancient Israel brought upon themselves in the wilderness, and from every point thereon, is, you know, they refuse to keep the Sabbath. Refuse to.
Oh. I think we're getting some feedback.
Oh, okay.
I think it might be.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, it's quiet. Peace.
There we go.
It's a Sabbath. So, what is that? Still broadcasting back there?
We're not, it's okay.
Okay.
We're not going to use it right now.
So anyway, the Sabbath, since God created it back in Genesis 1, has been a test command for his people. And of course, mankind has miserably failed in keeping that test commandment. It is very, very important. It's essential to our Christian lives. You know, brother, we'd say, well, that was for all those folks back there, back then. But what about today? Is that still a test commandment for us? Let's turn back to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and verse 17. It says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what shall be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." And, of course, doing good to God in this particular sense of the word is that we keep the Sabbath and we honor Him. As I mentioned, it's a test commandment for all mankind to see whether or not they will obey what God says for them to do. And it's just, of course, it's keeping the Sabbath. You tell somebody to keep the Sabbath, they just, they get the hackles in the back of their neck all, stand straight up, and they just get angry. And, it's I don't know why, but it's just one of those things that people can't stand to do for whatever reason. Of course, it boils down to rebellion. They're just not going to obey what God has asked them to do. And then they wonder why God doesn't protect them, why they're not blessed, and on and on and on and on. Hebrews, the third chapter and verse 7. It says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your father tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation, and said that they do always go astray in their hearts." Keeping the Sabbath is a matter of the heart. It's our heart and mind. If we're going to do it or not going to do it, rebellion or obedience. "And when they have not, and they have not known my way, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Of course, into the promised land as far as they go. But if we don't do it, the greater promised land is before us. So it's still a test for us. Are we going to keep the Sabbath? Are we going to honor God through that? And live our life accordingly so that we can enter into the perfect rest that we're looking forward to, the very kingdom of God. It doesn't write these things for no reason. It's not frivolous. It's there for our edification and to see and to understand and evaluate ourselves and our lives as to whether or not we're following the way that God has instructed us to go. Back to Exodus again, the 31st chapter. Exodus, the 31st chapter. Verse 12. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying," in verse 12 of Exodus 31, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall be surely put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall be surely put to death. Therefore, if the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath or observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant, if it is a sign between me and the children of Israel. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So you see, once again, he keeps hammering the point that it is a sign. It's a sign as to whether or not we, as his people, will obey him, if we'll keep the Sabbath as he has instructed us to do. You know, so it is a sign. It's just a, you know, it's just a test commandment for all of us. And there's so many different avenues we could go into in each one of these points, I suppose, but I didn't want to give a broad outline, an over-outline of the whole concept of keeping the Sabbath, where it came from and what we were to do. And you know, maybe we'll look at the next point, we'll look at some examples who kept the Sabbath in the Bible. We don't have to, you know, we don't lack any examples of Sabbath keepers mentioned in the New Testament, starting with Jesus Christ. You know, it was his custom. And the Apostle Paul in Acts 12 or 17 talks about keeping the Sabbath or speaking in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, which was his custom. And the list goes on and on about all the patriarchs, all the people in the New Testament, all the apostles who kept the Sabbath and preached on the Sabbath and did their part to instruct others to do the same. Of course, with the Jews, it wasn't quite such a big deal because they were, you know, quote-unquote keeping it, at least they're observing the day, but when it got out to the Gentiles, they weren't. So Paul, in particular, spent many years of his life preaching to the Gentiles and teaching them about Jesus Christ, and part of that is that they were to keep the Sabbath. You know, every time he went to different towns, it always says he started out in the synagogue, and then when the Jews wouldn't listen to him anymore, then he went out to the Gentiles. It was always on the Sabbath day that he went in to preach to that congregation and to those who would follow after him. But what about the Old Testament? Abraham kept God's Sabbath for, you know, some 430 years before. It was given, you know, Moses, it was revealed to Moses on the Mount when he got the Ten Commandments. God wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger in a piece, in a rock, and a stone. That was many, many years earlier. Going back to Genesis 26 chapter, Genesis 26 chapter and verse 5. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And that certainly includes keeping the Sabbath and holy days. Or whatever, however he understood that, and he kept it because it, you know, he was a man after God's own heart. He just kept that way of life. I quote from an article, and I forgot to write down. I know the title of it, where it came from, but an old article I found that says Adam was created and living when sunset came the sixth day of the creation week, when God rested from his work. Adam knew which was the seventh day. Day, Jesus called Adam righteous, or Abel righteous, in Matthew 23 and verse 35. So Abel kept the Sabbath also. Enoch walked with God. So Enoch kept the Sabbath, and he was translated, or moved to another area, less than 100 years before Noah. They knew which day was the same seventh day all through this time. Now, Adam lived 243 years with Methuselah until Lamech was 56 years old. Methuselah lived 600 years with Noah, and Lamech lived with Noah 595 years. All those old patriarchs, they all lived together at the same time. Noah certainly learned from them and others which was the Sabbath day, and Noah kept it. Because Noah was a preacher of righteousness, as 2 Peter, the second chapter, verse 5 says, and all your commandments are righteousness, in Psalms, the 119th chapter, verse 172. And the Sabbath, of course, is a commandment. It's all righteousness, it's the law of God. And all these men kept it from, you know, Adam on. Shem was also righteous, and he lived until Abraham was 150 years old. Let's stop to think about that. Isaac would have been about 50 years old at that time. So all these patriarchs all lived, not all at the same time, but they all overlapped each other from Adam on down. Noah died only about 2 years before Abraham was born. So, you know, God had that knowledge, at least in these certain individuals, available to mankind. And they, I'm sure, set a tremendous example by living their life as we're supposed to live our lives. So we see then, brethren, there was an unbroken chain of individuals who lived contemporary and obeyed God. I think God used these men, if in no other way, as an example to all who would see and hear. Now, it doesn't say that they had any type of evangelistic type program going on, but you know that they stood out. They were examples to all those who lived around them because they kept God's laws. They kept the Sabbath. They kept, you know, the Ten Commandments before the Ten Commandments were written. And they understood that. And it passed on from generation to generation. I just find it extremely interesting that all these men were contemporaries. They lived, you know, many of them lived at the same time. Noah, on back from Adam, from Adam to Noah. They all lived contemporaneously. And then Shem lived until Adam, or just time, almost the time Abraham was born. So, you know, it's just a continuous chain of events, a continuous chain of example where these men all obeyed God, and they were written in the Old Testament. I'm sure, you know, there's lots and lots of other ones too, because Hebrews says that a lot of them, you know, over the centuries, you know, were sawn asunder and all kinds of trials and tribulations, but they worshiped God. And it was just something that they did because they were righteous and they obeyed the law. They obeyed, they understood that God created that seventh day as a holy Sabbath and all the other, you know, the holy days that, you know, follow along. And then, of course, Moses, after God rescued Israel out of Egypt, he codified it, or he had them written down in stone so that everybody in Israel would be able to read it, be able to hear it, and if they chose to accept what it is that God wanted to do. And of course, it's written down for us up to this day. It's the same thing that you know, God did on the seventh day, way back in Genesis 1. Nothing's changed from that point of view. So it is a time that God has set aside for all mankind. It is a test for all of us to observe and to obey Him if we choose to do so. And we know that many of the old-timers kept it. We don't know how many, but these particular men I talked about were examples. Their name was recorded for our learning. So it is and was something that's gone on since Genesis 1. Another point is, it's a special time to develop a relationship with God. You know, this is a very special holy time to develop that relationship with God and with each other. We won't turn there, but next is to 31, first chapter, and verse 13, it says, that you may know I am the Lord. And that will come to church to learn who the Lord is, who God is, and more about Him. So God gave man His Sabbath for the purpose of keeping mankind in the true knowledge and true worship of the true God. If you as long as we keep coming here and learning and growing, and we have that knowledge that comes more and more, hopefully comes more and more a part of our life as each year goes by. And it's the time that God has set aside that we can learn more about God and His way of life. We don't turn there. We ever read Exodus, the 31st chapter and verse 17. So we'll turn there. But the Sabbath day is set apart each week so that His people can experience spiritual fellowship with the all-powerful, all-ruling God and each other. How important it is. This day then identifies God as well as identifying His people. And the things we do, you know, we do stand out like a sore thumb. Because, you know, that's good, that is fine, but we're different. And we identify, we can be identified by keeping the Sabbath. God's people. Exodus 31, verse 13, part says, it sanctifies us. Sanctify means to set apart for the holy use or purpose. So we're here to learn how to be set aside for a holy purpose, for a special purpose, to keep the knowledge of God alive and well and progressing on down to the next generation. We've seen the Sabbath as really a time to develop a special relationship with God. As part of that relationship is another ingredient, developing a close relationship with each other. And that is pleasing to God, that we do that without that relationship. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. You're going to say, oh yeah, okay, I know what you're going to say, and we always do say verse 25, but there's more to it. Let's go back, let's say Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and we'll start in verse 19. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and verse 19. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We certainly have gone through that process of repentance and baptism, where our evil heart has been cleansed and we have been given a soft heart through God's Holy Spirit and through the repentance and God working through us and with us. And we've been washed with the pure water of God's Spirit. So going on verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up and up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, we always read that chapter and we don't really go into the other one, or that verse, I mean. We don't necessarily always talk too much about the preceding chapter or verses. It's very important. We need to assemble ourselves and help to wash one another, help to cleanse our hearts and our minds by coming to church and glorifying God in our actions and our hearts and our thoughts. So there are all kinds of areas where we should be utilizing to develop that close relationship with one another and with God and with Jesus Christ, such as, when we come to church, what is our conversation? Do we ask biblical questions? Do we have a give and take? Do we have that fellowship? Do we have that relationship of asking another brother a particular answer to a question? It's not just listening to sermonettes and sermons, but we need to be able to have godly conversation among ourselves, and to, as it says in other parts of the Bible, that iron sharpens iron. And make the most out of the opportunity we have here for a couple hours on a Sabbath afternoon to hone each other's skills and to help each other along the way of understanding, answering the biblical questions. Or maybe perhaps to share a lesson we might have learned over the last week, or last period of time, a trial that we've suffered through and the lessons that we've learned from it, and share that with one another. Because it may be that whoever you're talking to might be going through the same thing, or will be in the next little while, and they'll link back. Oh yeah, so-and-so, he went through this, and this is what he did, and this all turned out, and I think I'll just follow it along the same line of reasoning and apply the principles that he learned or she learned from that lesson or from that trial that they were going through. So we share the lessons that we've learned on the Sabbath day when we are able to get together. And more importantly also, that we need to share the blessings that we received this week. And every one of us has received blessings on one way or the other. Sometimes we don't necessarily think about them, or maybe we don't acknowledge them, but God is always blessing us one way or the other. And it's good, it's so encouraging when somebody's down particular to say, oh yeah, I had such a wonderful thing happen to me this week, and you fill in the blanks. They might be discouraged. One of our brother might be discouraged, but when we share with them what God has done for us, it brings them up. It, you know, bolsters them and helps them in their attitude and in their outlook on life. Or you might come here to seek some personal counsel. You know, not just from the ministry, but from your brethren. There are a lot of gray hair around here. You know, a lot of people who have lived a lot of years. Some of you have gray beards, you know. You did talk about Santa Claus, didn't you? Or no? Talk about Christmas, that's what it was. But I don't think anybody's had as much experience as Mr. Thompson has, so you can learn all kinds of things from him. But seriously, you know, we come here and we are able to seek personal counsel from among ourselves or from those who have lived through certain things that, you know, only they are experts in. And they can share that with we can share that type of stuff with all of our, with all our brethren. And encouragement. You know, come here to be encouraged, to realize that God has given different people a blessing, given people lessons that they've learned, and to have some, you know, encouragement to help us to get up in the morning and go out and start picking the manna Sunday morning, you know, picking it up and doing what God has called us to do, the encouragement that we so desperately need. You know, I missed church last week because of the, you know, whatever's going around, but, you know, you really miss it because you don't have the opportunity when you're sitting at home, you don't have the opportunity for encouragement or have the, for the fellowship that is so wonderful and so much a part of the Sabbath day and keeping the Sabbath together with our brethren. And we help and pull each other up and help each other and encourage one another. And lastly, in this particular, well, there's, you can make a list of your own, but thankfulness. You ever stop to think about that? What, how thankful we need to be because we have this understanding, that knowledge, and what we talk about with one another, how God maybe helped us. You know, especially with the situation that's happened over the last week and all the horrible things that have gone on. I'm sure we all pray for our families, you know, that God would protect them and help them through different episodes and different things. But do we thank God in our prayers? I'm sure we always ask. I know I always ask. I got a granddaughter in London right in the middle of some of that crazy stuff who was scheduled to go to Paris on that weekend. You know, you know, we pray every day that she be protected, but do we thank God for the protection she's gotten? You know? And I, you know, like I say, I just thought about that today. You know, I'm always asking for protection and help, but do I give God the thanks for what we know that He has protected us from? And all, we don't even know how much He's protected us from, but you can just bet that there is a lot of things, you know, that He sent His angels to help. You know, and all about the people in Southern California. I know there are a lot of brethren in Redlands, a lot of brethren that live around there. And they were saved, or as far as I know, no one was involved in that horrible mess. Was it Wednesday? And those people came in and shot all those people up. But you know, our daughter has two friends who are not coming home from that work day. One of them is leaving a wife and six children. So, are we thankful, brother? We need to be thankful. Constantly, I always pray that God would protect us, but then be thankful that He has protected us and He's working with us in our lives. So, that's all part of the Sabbath. It's all part of being together and observing the test commandment that God has given to us, where He calls us to come together and to encourage one another, to help one another, to encourage and to guide and direct and strengthen us as we leave here and then follow the next 6 days in the whatever it is that we are involved in, you know, our lives. So being thankful is a tremendous blessing that we, you know, I don't know about you, I'm sure you do, but as thankfulness I'm not always that good at. I need to be, you know, better at it and need to think and understand that there are all kinds of things that I'm not even aware of that God has protected us from. know, in Paul's writing, almost every epistle he wrote, one of the first things he says is how thankful he is for what God has done for him. That was a hallmark of his writings, of his literature, or his books that he's written, the letters he's written over the years and recorded for us. And that is a thankfulness that needs to be, shared by all of us to help one another along the way. Number five, principles we need to follow to keep the holy, keep the Sabbath day holy. And of course, the biggest ones and the one we always talk about first is do not work or seek your own pleasures on the Sabbath day. Going back to Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter. Deuteronomy 5:12. It says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who resides within your gates, that your male servants and your female servants may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commands you to keep the Sabbath days and keep them holy. Were we not brought out of bondage, brethren? We certainly were. We were in the spiritual Egypt. And God reached down and says, I want you to come and be a part of my family. In that process, he opened our minds to understanding, and he opened our, one of the biggest things that you know, I had to face was the Sabbath day. You know, the rest of it, it's kind of whatever, this is good, this is good. But the Sabbath day was a test, because I knew, a little background, I finally realized that, with the people that I was going to, with, and learning about the church, and it finally dawned on me one day, and I can tell you exactly where I was and what I was doing out in the middle of a 40-acre field, cultivating soybeans, and it was like lightning. Those people keep the seventh-day Sabbath. And I wasn't aware of that. I mean, it hadn't dawned on me before, that particular instant in life. And from that point on, I knew I had a trial. Because my dad hated the Sabbath. And there were Seventh-day Adventists in the town where I grew up in. And Dad would just gleefully go and hire that guy only if he would come to work on Saturday. And then he'd point a finger and he'd laugh and ridicule the guy. Oh, he's a ha-ha-ha-ha, he's a Sabbatarian, all right, but look at here. Dangle a few bucks in front of him and he'll come and do his thing. So I knew it. I figured out pretty quick from that moment on what was facing me, which is, I'm sure that's nothing compared to what a lot of you all went through. But it is, it's a test commandment. And when God opens your mind and gives you the opportunity to hear and understand, that is one of the first things that he reveals to you, to see whether or not you obey. And not only that, but it's constant throughout the entire, your entire church history. And from time to time, you're going to be tested on the Sabbath day. You know, 3 years ago, we got fired. Absolutely fired because of the Sabbath and the holy days. And we're not the only ones. I know most of you people in here probably have been around for any period of time, have had problems with the Sabbath. And God tests you. Are you going to stand up for me and what's right, or are you not? It's a constant battle. And Satan loves nothing more than to get in there, stir things up, and be able to go before God's throne and say, hey, look at this guy down there you call a Christian, and he gave up the Sabbath for a few dollars or whatever it was. Isaiah the 58th chapter, verse 13. Isaiah 58, verse 13 says, If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, thus saith the Lord, if you obey and keep my holy Sabbath day, then he's going to make us ride high. Didn't say when, but eventually we'll be in his kingdom, part of his family, and that's about as high as a human being can get, I would say. It's whatever happens in between now and then, but it's a test commandment. Are we going to work and do our own pleasure, or are we going to obey? Rest on the Sabbath, another point video under the fire. This adds to the commandment to not work. Some of the definitions are peace, ease, refreshment, peace of mind, mentally and emotionally calm, refreshing ease of or inactivity other after work. It gives us a chance to unwind and to clear the cares of the week from our minds, to unclutter our minds with all the consternation, the frustration, and all the problems that we have in our jobs or in our schools or, in the community around us. It gives us a chance to understand and to have a period of time where we can clear that clutter out and be able to concentrate on what's important. And we know this, the command of assembly, Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, verse 1. Leviticus 23 and verse 1, it says, And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim, or be holy convocation, these are my feasts. The Sabbath, verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You should do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings and throughout all your generations, brethren. It is a commanded assembly that we are to keep. We are being summoned to meet on the Sabbath day by the greatest authority, and that, of course, is God the Father and Jesus Christ. Leviticus, the 19th chapter. Verses 1-3. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, You should be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols, nor make for yourself molten gods. I am the Lord your God. Keep the Sabbath. As it has been created, we've been commanded to do. And as I say, keep saying, it's a test commandment for all of us, whether or not we're going to do it, and for all mankind. And of course, mankind pretty much has failed that test, except for a handful of people like you and I who meet on, whatever place that God has set his mind on Saturday mornings or Saturday afternoons to come before his throne and to worship him. Exodus, the 35th chapter, verse 1. Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, These are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest on the Lord, or to the Lord. Whoever does not any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. There was no physical administration back then. But if we don't do it, and we know better, It's going to be a spiritual gift. It's how important it is that we keep and do and obey what God has asked us to do, commanded us to do, not ask. He's actually commanded us to do that. It's very important. Look back to Leviticus, the 19th chapter, verse 30. Leviticus 19 and verse 30. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. And before him where he has placed his name on this seventh day, the holy, you know, Sabbath day. Remember we read Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 23 through 25, where he commanded to come together and to assemble together to learn at the feet of Jesus Christ. You know, as a side note, too, remember we are coming to the very presence of God when we come to Sabbath services, so we should wear the best that we have, you know. Now he doesn't say you have to dress up in a tuxedo. He just says to come in the best, with the best that you have as far as clothing goes. And next point, sub-point, is prepare for the Sabbath. We need to wrap up our weekly activities on Friday as well as get organized and prepared for the Sabbath. Some examples would be to organize what the kids will be taking to church before the Sabbath begins, you know, on Friday afternoon. I've heard of some families have a special Sabbath collection of toys or whatever, games or whatever it is that they choose to do for their kids just for the Sabbath. You know, they don't do it the rest of the week. It's just a very special group of items, a special group of activities that the kids can use or partake of on the Sabbath day only. You need to have the car cleaned and fueled, prepare meals so all one would have to do is warm it up, you know, and we have to go to do that rather than making them, you know, being slaves, you know, mostly the ladies that have to slave in the kitchen. That's not keeping the Sabbath. And we as men have to support them and help them and encourage them. You know, how are you going to encourage them? No. We need to help them and encourage them and work with them, our wives, to help them prepare for the Sabbath. The preparation day is very important to God so that we can focus on the Sabbath and our relationship with Him and our brethren, not be consumed and overwhelmed with all the mundane things that we do throughout the week. You know, sundown Friday night, you know, pull the plug and go into a different mode of reflection, of service, and to our brethren, to be thankful, and to just set aside that time in our worship of God. I'm going to turn there, but in Luke 23rd chapter, verses 52 through 56, he talks about the ladies preparing for the Sabbath day after Jesus Christ is killed. They prepared the ointment and the spices where they go anoint his body after the weekly Sabbath. Of course, we know that he's resurrected that night, but anyway, it was a preparation. They knew that, and they observed that commandment even to that time. They kept the holy days, and on Friday, verse 56, prepared the spices, then kept the weekly Sabbath, and went early Sunday morning with the spices to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. They didn't know he was going to, I guess they'd been told, but they didn't really realize that he was going to be resurrected. Companion verses would be found in Luke 24th chapter. But the principle it is they prepared for the Sabbath day on that Friday, even as an incredible event that took place, and yet it was important that they stopped whatever they were doing to prepare for the Sabbath. Get ready to do and come to the synagogue and worship God. So, brother, we have been given a wonderful gift of the knowledge of God's Sabbath. Let us do our best to keep it holy in every way that we possibly can. And I have a handout out there for a lot of the scriptures I use in the sermon, plus some other ones. So if you want to take that, I think there's plenty of them there for anybody who want to use it for a study guide or just kind of refresh or review in your daily Bible studies.